learn how to enter a meditative state and to learn some of the principles which are of value in spiritual living. Now, 2 days ago, my wife was saying to me that it would be good to write an essay on the subject, The Sacrificial God. And she was on a wavelength, as per usual, that was quite similar to mine, because things I started thinking about and then writing about really led into this subject. So I'm going to read from my journal here. A woman is the powerful one who gives birth, whom everyone wants, the center of attention, sensation being ecstatic, in a love nest, protected from the world. Men inflate their position due to fear of their own inferiority, I wrote. And I might add, this is a perspective, of course. I'm a man, and everything is equally needful. A life that says yes to everyone, for whom the stumbling blocks are steps. Impediments are pediments, the building stones. The things of reality are flourishes, decor, design. There is no desire to cling for dear life. Rather, all is lovingly embraced. So she is a sacrificial goddess. All the feminine, the whole, the humble, the undefended, the resting, the seemingly untraveling, the unraised up, the male like a block, a square, resistance, the belief in the solid reality of obstacles, which is the needed error. It can't be helped, as heart knowledge fades a little into head knowledge. Head knowledge, which represents a split at the neck between awareness and substance, which are really one. And an attempt to elevate the head of the enterprise. So too is self-condemnation by the feminine, a little turn of the screw from mystic self-abnegation. So now I'm just talking about that, a poor self-image is not mystical humility. It's as much the ego as an inflated self-image. It's the obverse. it's a concern about a sense of selfhood. In trying to prop it up by self disparagement as much as by self-inflation. It's not this egotism which prevails. Of course, the word ego, which is I, the ego is more than how you regard yourself on a scale of 0 to 10. The ego is where we normally are aware of anything and make our plans and deal with steaming reality. When you wake up from sleep, your ego is in operation this morning. So it's not the same as saying conceitedness. It's part of who we are, what we need. You might say it's what is on the stage of our awareness. And our awareness is, in a certain analysis, all that there is. When something is there, it's there in an awareness. The awareness of the universe, you might say. You might say the atoms are aware in a different way from us. A plant is aware. It responds to a prayer to help it live when it is near death. So in meditation, we become more experiencing and more living the larger scope of the awareness that can fill this stage, this theater of operation. This only place where there is life. When we become enlarged in our scope, we feel a fading of the apparent separation between ourselves and other things, between one thing and another, between one person or one being, a plant, an animal. The separation is imagined. When we're born, when we're a neonate, a newborn, we feel as if there is one life which we are in. When we cry out for help, such as for food, we at first feel that our life is one with the mother's life. We had just been in the womb. We had just been, you might say, an organ within the mother's body. And we ever remain of one life with the sacrificial goddess. This is not in the big picture a matter of sexual politics, of feminism, of male domination. But these socio-political or emotional struggles overlay what's happening in reality. And these other type of issues can be obfuscation, can cover up the things we're really getting towards. But properly experienced there, essentially and pricelessly enriching mystical reality. There is an inward aspect to meditation. Which we can experience as if it stood alone, apart from the world. And we can experience the world as if it stood apart from the inner mystical experience. But the efficacious way is to have the inner and the outer reflecting each other. In Jewish tradition and some other traditions, when someone has died, we cover the mirrors in the house for a week. If I go to the mirror and it's covered, there's no reflection. If the mirror was uncovered but I wasn't standing in front of it, there would be no reflection of me, no awareness of a reflection. So my inner experience without the mirror, with it covered, I see nothing of an outer world. It is a repercussion of myself, an increase, a reflection, a outward music of myself. And if the mirror was there without my self-reflection, my contemplation, then whatever is appearing on that mirror has an unappreciated aspect if nobody is there looking in the mirror. An automatic, a mechanical aspect to whatever is appearing on that mirror without being appreciated. In conscious awareness by the soul. So a life that is unself-regarded, uncritiqued, unexplored, is not hitting its own potential yet. An unexamined life is not worth living, it had been said. Said by Socrates, 500 BC. And the three-dimensional examination is not simply by batting around thoughts on the subject. It is this heart knowledge. So spiritual knowledge and meditative experience are a cohesive thing, a simple thing, just as love in its very nature is cohesive. Not only is there a unified character to love, but love is that which unifies, that which is aware that everything always is in a state of unity. It's sacred relationships within oneness. What is love without relationships? And what are relationships without oneness? So all the mistakes that we make in this world bring us back to an accuracy of vision, which becomes an ever-increasing three-dimensional vision of things. If we close one eye and look out with only one eye, what we see is flat. We might figure it's three-dimensional because we're used to seeing things three-dimensionally. But to see things three-dimensionally, we have to have both eyes open. So there is a relationship, an interplay of the two eyes that are creating an outside world for ourselves. So even within my one self, there are lots of instances of relationship, of duos. Our bodies are symmetrical on the left and the right. And the front and back are sort of a reflection, and from the top of our head down to the bottom of our torso, it's like one end of us is like the other. And things that have an opposite quality are complementary opposites. Like men and women, you cannot have a continuation of humanity without men and women, obviously. Or objects and the space that surrounds objects, the air. If there were no objects, there would be nothing happening. And if there was solid object only, nothing could move or differentiate itself. So, opposite pairs are necessary. Oneness is therefore not quite the simplest concept of it that we usually would have. There's this one thing and that's it. This one apple sitting on the table and that's it. Oneness is paradoxical. Oneness only seems to be untraveling. What is at the same time becomes. When we get to know the undefended nature of this sacrificial goddess. It's the most practical thing because we ourselves can live in a state where we don't have to defend ourselves. Things do not fall out in the way that they were wont to when we were part of the human-wide impression that everything is a mess and we're just lucky to escape from it for any time. We can find a different world. We don't make it exist. We just let ourselves become aware of its existence. We return to something which it was good to turn away from, and now even better to turn back to. The things of God are foolishness to man, it is written. Like a child's play may be foolishness. It is written, the kingdom of heaven is within. Now you notice that is a paradox, because the kingdom of heaven obviously is all around. As soon as we experience it within, we experience it all around. Subjectively, it starts as experiencing it within, because it has to happen in awareness, in my awareness, you see. It can't be somebody else does it for me. So these things can be meditated upon. We can change our lives. It is a project, but we have our whole lives to do it. It's a project we likely run away from, but it's the one we must come back to. And so, for this week, peace, love, and joy. This was a Really Being With You, Saturdays, 9:30 to 10. This is your community radio station, KSKQ, LP